The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, we're live, pal. I mean, I hope we're live. One final time into the Sarlacc. One final time into the Sarlacc pit. I am Jose Youngs with MMAfighting.com here on the last episode of the Aveside. I'm sure you all have questions about that. We'll answer that as we progress into the show. Nothing bad, just a couple changes happening. But I teased we were going out in style, so we are going out in style rather than just have one voice. So it's obviously normally me and Casey, plus a guest, sometimes two. We're going all out. Joining us this week, starting off, because we might have a rotation going, we got Sean Alshadi, one of the OGs of the live chat. A lot of people think he started the live chat, apparently, on Twitter.
No. Like,
that's what I said. It dated back to our former colleague, Luke Thomas. Sean obviously took it over with Mark, but he's back to come full. What did you say? Time is a flat circle. Think that was
time
phrase.
Is a flat circle, my friend.
That was our first ever preview show, so time indeed has become a flat circle, whatever the phrasing is. Mike Heck, who just did his, I believe, Mike, it was your last show in that iteration for What the Heck, correct?
That is correct. There'll be more interviews. I know a lot of people have been like, oh, no more interviews. No, there'll still be interviews, just not in that form. It's a little more freeing. I get a little extra time. I can plan my week out a little bit better. I don't have to like load up a lineup on Monday for Tuesday. Like, this is good news, people, and we have other things coming. This is all good stuff, I promise you.
And rounding out this, what is it, five-man panel? Last time we saw him, he introduced us to the newest member of the MMA fighting family. Welcome back, Brazilian legend, Guilherme. How's life? How's life as a dad? You getting any sleep?
Life is good. Yeah, I can't complain. My Alessa sleep overnight. She's amazing. Life is good. Right now, earlier this morning, we were trying to break some news while changing diapers. It's a new life.
Hey, that's the life.
Get used to that.
That's Mike, why they call him the beast.
There you go. Mike, I think you're the only one. Other one on the site that's a dad, if I know correct. Have you broken news and changed diapers simultaneously?
No, I haven't. I haven't been as lucky as Guilherme. So no, I didn't break news. I didn't get to sleep at all in the overnight. I didn't get an overnight sleeper like Guilherme. So consider yourself very lucky, my friend. It took me two years to get a full night's sleep.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway. Looking forward to that, apparently. And Casey, on the ones and twos, producer extraordinaire. How's life in Englewood? I hear you're going to be a motorcyclist soon.
Yeah, that's why I got to get this done and then, you know, hit up motorcycle class. And I've already done my little Zoom classes. Now I got to do my test and all that stuff. So got my little gloves, my helmet, and everything. I'm good. Vroom, 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 vroom.
Look at you, man. But anyway, you guys know the drill. This is not our show. This is your all show. We'll ask, answer any questions you ask about MMA or whatever. Guillermo, of course, broke some big news or helped break some big news with Anderson Silva is apparently going to box Tito Ortiz.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I should have a reaction, but I just don't. But anyway, yeah. Casey, what is our first question from our loyal listeners?
First question. Here we go. Ready? It's a big one.
Why? Why to what? Casey, what do you think they're asking why about?
I think they're asking why the A side is. Why is this the last A side?
This is the last A side because, as everyone is aware, Ariel Helwani is coming back to the MMA Hour, which we are all very excited for. I'm sure he's going to get tons of content, but he is having two shows a week, and one of them will be at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, which was the time slot for this. So I'm not going anywhere. I'll still be on the preview post shows. Maybe I'll be on various other shows that's coming, but he is taking this slot, which is I'm more than fine with. I will miss everyone, but I think Ariel will do okay at this time slot. I'm just saying.
Hey, we're giving this kid a chance. We're giving this Helwani giving
the kid a chance. Giving the new blood a chance.
Yeah, I mean, he's working for this little blog in Connecticut, Espen. So, you know what? we saw his LinkedIn account. We're like, you know what? I like it. You know,
His LinkedIn. We saw him searching around on Craigslist and we reached out to him. So.
You know. This kid could go places. This kid could really go places.
I'm not going anywhere.
No expectations.
Yeah. Me and Mike aren't going anywhere. We're just kind of removing the shows.
Right, here we go.
MMA from Azan Saman. What an amazing show this has been. Great run and interaction. And the interaction with you guys has been great. Ever since I found out, I've been asking 4 to 5 questions each show using my MMA fighting account. Well, appreciate that. And my friend's Twitter.
Look at that. Double dipping.
God damn.
The truth comes out on the final episode. I love it.
Look at this. The show is around 9 to 10 p.m. Bangladesh time, which is perfect. Well, shout out to our fans in Bangladesh. I didn't know those existed.
We're killing it in Bangladesh.
Had a blast, but all great things was coming to an end. Huge shout out to Casey and Jose for delivering quality content. See you, boys. See you soon, boys. That being said, any clue on Thugger Rose's next opponent and the date? I've seen Zhang Weili train, but all she does is train. That's true. All she does is train. But I'm sure you guys all saw, I believe it was Trevor Whitman posted a video clip of Thug hitting mitts and doing a lot of like body work with him and that. I don't know what it's called, Casey. I'm sure you do that.
It's a body pad.
Yeah. And I think the caption was day one of camp. So I'm sure everyone obviously saw that and we're probably like, oh, what's this? Do you have an opponent? I'll start with Mike because he's immediately to the right of me and we'll go down this way. Mike, what was your immediate reaction to seeing, quote unquote, day one of camp Thug Rose?
Kind of what I thought. I thought they would try to book her next fight on that November card, whether it's at MSG or some other event, to be a co-main event for Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington 2. And my other thought was, we're going to get the Zhang Weili fight, aren't we? We're going to get that rematch. Even though Carla Esparza is right there, there's a story. She did everything she had to do to earn this fight. She went out there and finished Yan Xiaonan. Like, what else does this woman have to do to fight for a world title? But I have a feeling we're going to go back to Zhang Weili. Carla Esparza is going to have to wait. And that's what I think. I have no knowledge of this, but that's just what my gut is telling me. And my gut is right, like, 45% of the time. So take that for what it's worth.
Gee, are you more confident or less confident?
Don't trust your gut is what I'm hearing. Yeah.
No.
Are you more or less confident than Mike that Zhang Weili will get the immediate rematch with Rose Namajunas?
I'm more confident on that. Last I checked, it's been a few weeks, but I asked a source in the Zhang Weili's camp, and I was told that was the direction they were going to book a rematch for the New York card, but that wasn't a done deal or not, anything like that. And I haven't asked them again on that, but so I'm not sure. But that wouldn't surprise me because it's a bigger fight in terms of names more than Carla Esparza. I agree that she deserved it, but it's the UFC. There's no deserving in the UFC, unfortunately.
Sean, you're shaking your head. What do you got to say about this possible rematch?
Could- Because these gentlemen are right. I have a feeling, too, that it's going to be Zhang Weili in the end. And it's, again, I always say this, but it's the most UFC move possible, right? Like, it's so short-sighted. We've seen this happen with so many other people where it's just, because you throw her in there, and if she loses, then what? Where are we at that point? Like, she's lost twice to the champ. She has no way back to the title as long as Rose is champion. Carla Esparza's current five-fight winning streak is as many wins as Zhang Weili has in her entire UFC career. Like, this is totally unjustified. I understand she was a very fun champion. She had one of the greatest fights of all time, if not also the greatest female fight of all time, the greatest women's fight I have ever seen in my entire life. Like, I get that. But ultimately, Carla Esparza deserves this shot. She has deserved this shot for a bit. And in particular, with this five-fight streak, man, like, the story is there. It's a really incredible story, too. We're talking about things coming full circle. For it to come full circle to her, to where now her and Rose meet back up all these years later, and Rose is a completely different person, and now Rose is the champion, and Carla's the challenger. Like, it's such a fun story. I just don't get this. But again, it's the most UFC move possible, and I'm sure they're absolutely going to book this rematch.
Yeah, and I remember on the post shows for these various fights, because remember when Rose won? When she beat Zhang Weili, she brought up that fight against Carla and Yan Xiaonan. She's like, well, I have to watch that fight too. So normally when the champion is already mentioning your name, it's a good sign. And then we all agreed, Casey and Mike, I think you were on the preview show. We didn't think Carla was going to do what she did against Yan Xiaonan. And then she just steamrolled through her. And then we were like, well, that's it. What else does she have to do? But Sean's right. It is the most UFC move possible. And then what happens if Zhang Weili goes 0-2 against the champ?
Actually, to me, it's
even
No, it's even worse though. If Zhang actually wins, then Carla Esparza is even extra screwed.
That means then you got to run the rubber match.
The rubber match. So that's why I hate this fight so much. And it's stupid and lots of stupid. And
they're gonna.
I have to say, too, with the way that the frequency with which I love Rose, but she doesn't defend this title very often, even when she was champion the first time. If Zhang Weili wins, we probably will be looking at a series similar to DC Stipe, where it's like once a year. Yeah. We're seeing this title, and this trilogy takes like 3 years to play out. It's just like, this division's too good for that. Like, you have Mackenzie Dern and Carla Esparza and all these people just sitting here. Like, come on.
And I don't understand why the UFC would even attempt this right now, especially if the way the world is. Look, Rose trains in the States. Carla trains in the States. We're going to have lots of crazy travel restrictions and craziness happening in the world. Why invest in this fight with a person that trains on the other side of the world right now when you don't have to, when you have a more legitimate contender right there of Carla Esparza? It's dumb. Even think about that. Yeah, sorry.
And Sean makes such a good point. There's like, it's a lose-lose, right? Because if Zhang Weili loses, now you have two of the best 115-pounders in the world completely out of the title picture as long as Rose has the title. Joanna ain't getting a title shot anytime soon because Rose already beat her twice. Now Zhang Weili's out of the title picture as long as Rose – I mean, it's just nothing – the long-term effect of this is bad for one of the best divisions in the sport right now. It's just silly. Like, I get why they're doing it for a short-term gain, but long-term, it makes no sense to do this.
What's
a
short-term gain other than viewership
that
in China?
That fight is slightly more intriguing to the general public. I mean, not even slightly. It's intriguing.
I don't think it is, though. I don't think it is. I think the UFC, has to sell the loss. They got us. This, if they promote this correctly, this is, to me, a much easier fight to promote than Weili. You know, you have two.
They all have the same manager.
I'm with you.
We're all saying the same thing. We're all on the same page. Yeah.
That's true, too. They all have the same manager, all three of them. And worst case scenario is Zhang Weili wins, and then they run it back with Joanna, and then Rose and Carla are doing the rematch, and it's not for a title. In the co-main event, possibly. Like, that's worst case scenario. But let's not end this. Let's not end
I do like that the caption for that question was just MMA. It's very to the point.
MMA. All right. All right. We got some more MMA questions coming up. Here we go.
Apples and oranges from Terrence Lefferts. Is that Terrence? We appreciate you asking Dana about the intro bell. Terrence Leverett has asked many a question. Yeah. Terrence Leverett is like an OG commenter, but it's true. We questions are out there. We appreciate you asking, Dana.
It is
100%. So this is Terrence is clearly saying thank you to Casey for asking Dana White about a possible interim bantamweight title. He goes on to say 135 needs an interim belt. Any other division, Dana would have made the champ give up the belt. Why is it that Amanda pushing back every fight? I know this one doesn't count due to COVID, but her last three fights have all been pushed back. Do you think she's tired of fighting and lacks motivation? So that's the first question. So, Guy, I'll start with you. Amanda Nunes obviously was supposed to defend her title against Juliana Pena at UFC 265 this past weekend in Houston. That obviously didn't happen because Amanda Nunes tested positive for COVID and it got pushed back. Dana White is hoping for, obviously, fourth quarter, but there's no official word. Juliana Pena even crashed the press conference to get to the bottom of it. She's back in the gym, so I'll ask you, do you think Amanda Nunes is tired of fighting and lacks motivation?
I don't think so. It's not like Amanda hasn't fought since 2019. She has fought twice since then, defending her second belt. So it's just the UFC has her as a two-division champion that defends both titles. So she's going to take some time off from one division eventually. So I don't think it makes that much sense to create an interim title. Yeah, the featherweight division is a mess. It's not actually a division. But it's the UFC's way to promote this champ. And so I don't think the UFC makes sense. It would make sense to have an interim title. Yeah, we know that making sense and creating interim titles are actually something that drives the UFC to make that decision. We just saw the heavyweight division getting an interim champion like 3 months after Gunn was crowned. But I don't think it makes much sense to... We all know Amanda Nunes is the best bantamweight in the world. Yeah, there's someone in the team that doesn't rank her the number one right now, but it's...
I think a lot of the interim 135 talk, like the genesis of this was like, obviously everyone agrees Amanda's the best 135 in the world, but like the headlining card was an interim title that no one wanted. And there's a much bigger argument to make a bantamweight. That was the reason for this. Like, if you're going to make this fake belt after 3 months, why can't you make a fake belt after more than a year away? So, Sean, do we need an interim title at women's bantamweight?
Do we need one? I mean, I don't know. I do love sort of this retroactive outrage about this because, like, you know, who was really calling for a bantamweight title fight over these last 18 months, right? Like, that division is still very in a very weird place. You look at the top two contenders, it's still GDR and Holly Holm. Amanda beat the brakes off of both of them. Like, there hasn't been at any point over the last year and a half this, you know, big gaping hole where it's just like, well, obviously we need to keep bantamweight moving. Like, the division is kind of stagnant at this point, and it just feels like it's not very interesting because Amanda is so head and shoulders above everybody else. At this point, though, I mean, we might be nearing a point where we do need an interim title fight, but of all the interim title fights we've seen, not including this heavyweight one, because this one was just a special kind of stupid, but outside of all of those, like, is anybody really going to respect whoever wins that interim belt, right? Like, that's seems like a very clear, like, well, you're not the real champion type of situation. So I don't know. I mean, the whole thing is messy.
Which one are you talking about? Which interim belt?
Well, I mean, this latest one, obviously, but also women's bantamweight.
Yeah, like, yeah,
if we did a women's bantamweight one, it's just like of the respect level of that person as champion, like that's a 1 out of 10, right? Like, you're clearly not Amanda Nunes. So it's a tough situation. I mean, as long as they can book Pena versus Nunes before, you know, the late part of the year, like I would hope that we can just keep this moving.
Mike, same question. Thoughts on an interim title of women's bantamweight?
I mean, my first thought is, like, I had a feeling. I know why this question was brought up, Casey, so he could get a little pat on the back in a way. But whatever. I mean, so what? Like, I mean, I agree with Sean. He said everything I would have said. Like, if Julia, who's and if you do an interim title right now, like, who is Juliana Pena even going to fight right now? Like, who else is there? Aspen Ladd hasn't fought in a long time. She's getting ready to fight Macy Chiasson. Jermaine Duranemi had surgery earlier this year on her hands. Who knows when she's going to be back? And they just fought, and Duranemi submitted Juliana Pena. when she's never submitted anybody before. So, I mean, like, who's even there to do an interim title with? Like, I don't understand this talk for an interim belt because there's nobody for Juliana Peña to fight besides Amanda Nunes right now. So,
that's,
I mean, if they make it, whatevs. But
people,
I mean,
are bitching about Julia Peña getting a title shot.
I don't have any issue with Juliana Peña getting the next title shot or fighting for the belt next. I think I do agree with Mike. I just don't think there's a clear dance partner for Juliana at interim. So I want Amanda and Juliana to fight. Like, I don't want to lose. Like, if Juliana loses, I don't want to lose out on her fighting Amanda Nunes. So I am fine waiting for that to get rebooked.
Where's the urgency for this?
Right here.
Yeah. I also was a proponent of doing Nunes GDR again. And the reason why was when I interviewed GDR after she submitted Juliana Peña, she said, I want to fight Amanda Nunes one more time for the title. If I win, I'm a world champion. If I lose, I will retire. I will walk away right there and then. She will put her career on the line to fight Amanda Nunes one more time. That, to me, is probably the most interesting story at women's 135 pounds right now. It is. It just is. Like, I know we've seen the fight already. Nunes won pretty convincingly. But just adding that little aspect to this fight is the most interesting thing this division can have right now. It just is. I mean, do Peña, it's fresh, but that to me is more interesting and more sellable.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Question 2 from Terrence Leverett. Crazy antics aside, do you think Conor would be better off if you went back to 145? If Jose Aldo can make 135, I am sure Conor can make 145 again, given his resources. I know his pride will let him go back after a loss, though. Guy, I'm going to start with you again. Do you think Conor can make 145 again, real quick?
I don't think so. After going all the way up to 170, living life the way he's like bulking up, I don't think he wants to. If it takes like 3 years of hard work, he can make it. But there's no way he's gonna do that. That doesn't make sense.
Mike, real quick, do you think Conor can make 145 again?
To quote the great Stone Cold Steve Austin, no chance.
Sean?
No, absolutely not. He's 33. He's not 23 years old anymore, right? Like, the dude's close. I don't know how much money he has, but he has more money than all of us combined will ever see in our entire lives. Like, he's the richest athlete
in the world in 2021.
Yeah, he has no impetus at all to try to kill his body to get down to 145. Like, we saw when he was like not nearly this rich and how hard it was for him to do that. But now he's just swimming in luxury. Like, why would he ever do that? That makes no sense.
Did you see Max Kellerman say he wanted to run it back, Conor Aldo, at 155?
Yeah, well, cool. Someone needs to learn.
Right, right.
That's right, a little bit about what Jose Aldo's doing.
Casey, okay, so you remember backstage at UFC 264, they did that weird transition with Max Kellerman on the TV. He like was leading, and we were all just, it was like a 7 second awkward silence of him staring off into space. Regardless, anyway. Number three. Oh, interesting question. If you could all start your own YouTube channel that didn't have anything to do with MMA, what would it be about and what's stopping you?
Damn.
Going down the line.
What's stopping you from doing
it? What is stopping you? That's confrontational.
Wow.
Bunch of lazy bastards.
What would make you happy and why are you not doing it? Like, shit. All right.
Mike, I'll start with you unless you want more time to think about it.
I mean, to me, I would talk about like mid to late 90s pro wrestling because I geek out over that stuff. Like ECW, those kinds of things. I geek out over that. And then maybe like 80s, early 90s Red Sox baseball. And just running down those old lineups.
Man, you are stuck in the past.
I mean, it's just fun to go. It's fun to look back.
It is fun, man. Those 80s and 90s Red Sox teams were a blast. Anyway, Guy, what would you do a podcast on or a YouTube show on? Cool scarves?
I don't think I would ever have my own YouTube channel. But if I had to, I would just talk about cars.
Cars. Wow. That's how I expect.
Oh man.
That's awesome.
I've known you all this time. I didn't know you were a big car guy.
Yeah, yeah. I've been like reading about it like since I was a kid.
Whoa.
My dad loves it and just pass it on to me.
When you say you mean like building cars and stuff or like F1?
No, 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 no. Like talking about cars reveals and stuff like that. I follow a lot of YouTube channels about it. I think I would do something else about that, but I won't do that. I will never do it. But if I had to do something about it, in YouTube channel, it would be about cars.
Sean,
oh man, now I kind of want to just hear Guillermo's car channel.
me too. Dude, me too.
He's got me intrigued. I didn't know this.
Subscribe.
smash that like and subscribe button. For me, I mean, obviously, Phoenix Suns would probably be one. That would probably be a pretty sad podcast right now, though. And for the foreseeable future, still not over that. Also, I think probably the other one would maybe be some form of like video game podcast, maybe. Could be some form of nostalgic video game or maybe modern day. I don't know that modern day I have as much to say about, but I still am a huge gamer and I have all this knowledge and stupid information in my head that I can't do anything with or talk to anybody about. So maybe something like that.
Casey?
Probably some combination of pro wrestling and metal and hardcore. Yeah,
I think you guys already know my answer. I tweeted about it enough. I think you need
to start a comics channel, frankly.
Dude,
What's stopping you from
what is stopping you?
The world of mixed martial arts doesn't stop. That's what I tried to do a live chat once, and they announced that Anderson Silva was boxing Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. I'm like, well, there goes my night, and I just had to go to work. So that is what's stopping me is MMA.
I have to say, Jose, I've been on a rabbit hole lately with that Comics Explained channel. I'm sure you've seen this guy on YouTube, the Comics Explained. He like goes in depth. To me, that just feels like that should be you. Like you could easily do that and probably better or at least more captivating for me.
He's very good. I do think he's wrong. I don't want to say he's wrong. He glosses over things a lot and leaves a lot of things out because they're comic books are so convoluted that it gets really complicated. And if he's going on a straight line, there are like seven paths he could take and he's ignoring six of them. So I think he's missing the broad spectrum. If he did one with Loki is so convoluted because he's been around for 60 years that he's just like missing. Yeah. Me and Jed have talked about this. Me and Jed's fandom of comic books are very parallel. Like I think Jed and I could nail that, but that's a few.
Dude, problems. I've been on car rides with you. Me and you have been on long car rides to Vegas, and it basically becomes a Comics Explained channel where I'm just like, hey, tell me about this guy, and then you'll talk for like 45 minutes straight.
I could probably do it, but we'll figure it out. I do want a podcast where I interview MMA fighters about their weird hobbies. Like, I really want an hour-long conversation with Brandon Moreno about Funkos. Like, that would fascinate me. Jed, you want to talk about Calvin Hobbs? We'll get Israel Adesanya on the show too, and we'll talk an hour every week.
Izzy and Ryan Hall. They're the biggest.
They
Calvin
love Calvin Hobbs. Hobbs. Yeah.
All right.
Izzy has some good Calvin Hobbs ink too.
Thank you for your question. Long time.
Mike, if you ever want to do a YouTube channel on the territories of professional wrestling, I am there, because that is the most fascinating era of pro wrestling for me.
I'm in, man. We'll figure it out.
Four Corner Sports NY, longtime commenter. With Gon winning the interim belt, Gon will face Francis to unify the belts. But how do you guys see that fight playing out? Does Francis get picked apart from the outside until Gon goes from the for the kill, or does Gon get put to sleep by the power of Francis Ngannou? Hashtag the A side. I'm going to also preface this with saying, everyone go watch Damon Martin's interview with Fernan Lopez, which is Ciryl Gane's current coach, Francis Ngannou's old coach. He goes very into detail, and I don't – he obviously favors Gon, but since he's trained with Francis so much, he obviously points out a lot of the strengths Francis has. So there's a lot less bias than I thought it was going to be. It's a very fascinating listen to. It's also like 50 minutes long, and that guy talks a lot. So after this, go watch that. Sean, really early predictions for a fight that's not even announced yet. How do you see Francis Ngannou versus Ciryl Gane playing out?
Man, I'm sure my mind probably is going to change a couple different times by the time this gets here. But right now in this early going, I still just have to favor Francis. For me, it is really hard to pick anybody other than Francis Ngannou when it comes to any heavyweight fight ever right now, because I've just never seen anybody like this guy. Like, I've never seen anybody have the death touch in a real tangible way like this guy has. And to do, like, we talk about Derek Lewis of like, oh, you know, 25 minutes, you just got to land one. It's just like Francis Ngannou is that times 10, where like even a jab or like some weird backwards, you know, punch is going to knock you out. Like, you've never been knocked out before in your life, and you're going to be out for like 20 minutes. So like, I don't know. Right now I favor Francis, but it is a damn good fight. And I have a feeling these dudes are going to be fighting multiple times over the course of their career. That really feels like these are the two true, like, new breed of heavyweight that we're getting in this sport. And I'm really excited for it.
Guillermo, who you got?
I would also favor Ngannou, but Gon is so technical, it's incredible. But we haven't seen anyone like march forward against him, like, and don't even care, just try to knock his head off. He has fought some people with amazing knockout power, like JDS and Derek Lewis, but no one has really like paid no respect to his striking. Francis Ngannou has trained with him for a long time, so maybe he knows something. We don't know how that will play out, but based on Francis Ngannou's MMA fights, when he just likes to knock your head off, and this new version of him that we saw in the Miocic rematch, I think he's way more of a dangerous fighter than just a headhunter. So I would favor him, but I know that Ciryl Gane has what it takes to like outstrike him, to just play a smart fight and maybe win a decision. Because he has the ground game as well. He's not like just a striker. He has a very, very solid ground game. And we've seen Francis Ngannou struggle with that in the past. So that's a tough fight for him.
Mike, we going 3-for-3 on Francis between you guys?
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, when a fight's this close in my mind, first of all, I'm all in on it. I am so all in on this fight. All my chips, boom, right in the middle of the table for this fight. When a fight's this close, I have the to be the man, you got to beat the man mentality. And I know both of them have belts, but, you know, Francis is the man. He's the champion. Ciryl has said as such since the fight has been booked. So I'm so fascinated by it. I'm going with, like, I would lean Francis right now, but I'm as fascinated as I am with the fight. I am just as fascinated with how the coaches are going to approach this fight inside the room leading up to the day. Like, how is Eric Nixick going to prepare for Ciryl Gane? How is Fernan Lopez, who at this moment, he might be the most underrated coach in the sport right now. He's done this two different times. And Sean talked about this on the post-fight show and said it perfectly. But just to see how Fernan Lopez at this day would prepare for Francis Ngannou, because like Guy said, Francis is a different guy now. He's got some different tools. He's learned how to sort of harness his power and harness how quickly he needs to go out and finish fights, even though he still does them ridiculously fast. He doesn't need to finish them ridiculously fast like maybe he had to in the past. So everything about this fight switches the on switch on. Like, I love everything about it, and I can't wait for it. I hope we get to see it by the end of the year. But if not, like, if this headlines the first pay-per-view in January, sign me up. I cannot wait for it.
Also, one thing too is Francis Force is the issue, right? Like, Francis Force is the issue like no other heavyweight in the world. Like, you're just not going to avoid that dude. No, like, I understand Ciryl Gane has this incredible footwork and his fluidity and all of this, but like, Francis is just going to rush you. And like, anything that he hits, like, it's gonna be maximum power. Like, I am fascinated to see how that plays out.
I'm gonna pick Ciryl Gane just to be different, but I think it's
I knew you would.
I think Francis, like, it's so close to me. Like, I don't agree that Ciryl should be favorited. Like, what the early odds, Ciryl Gane is the favorite, right? If I remember that correctly. Yeah, I would favor Francis. I just want to be different because this is my show and it's the last show. So I'm going to be different. Also, Fernand Lopez laid out Ciryl Gane's like training, like how much he like makes him do footwork drills for like 2 hours at the beginning of every camp. And then he goes into training. So his camp is clearly on point. Fernand Lopez laid out why, like, kind of the issues with him and Francis, and had nothing to do with him leaving. Had everything to do with Francis ignoring game plans and everything like that. He said Ciryl's not that guy. He's going to put a game plan and Ciryl will follow it. So, but anyway, Guy, Sean, Mike, if you, two of you can rotate out, I think, because we got two other fun guests coming, unless you guys want to add anything about this.
It's great timing. My battery is about to die anyway. So,
who wants to stick around and who wants to
say bye, Guy?
Bye bye, guys. Been a pleasure. Love the side. Gonna miss you, but you're going to still be on the team. So, yeah.
And he's gone.
Wow. Just like that.
Brutal. Wait, I have to go give my dogs some eye drops medicine. So I'll rotate out as well. Found out yesterday she has cataracts in both eyes developing. Oh, so that's
God. Yes.
Really. Damn, man, unfortunate for that.
Hey.
Yeah.
So nice. Sorry. Yeah. Nice big bummer. Jeez.
I'll hang out with it.
But I want to say, Jose, man, obviously I passed this show off to you a couple years ago, and I knew you would kill it, and I was absolutely right. You crushed it. It's been an awesome time watching you do this show, watching you grow with this show. And as we've all said, like, you're obviously not going anywhere. We're going to be doing a bunch of big stuff, so I'm not going to give you some big send-off here, but you absolutely killed it, my man. I appreciate you, and I can't wait to see what we're doing in the future.
Me neither. There you go. Boom.
Boom, he's gone.
Bye, Sean.
Yeah, he's gone too.
Well,
I guess I'll stay. Yeah, all right,
Mike, you want to hang out?
Yeah, no, Mike's staying. Sure. Where are the other? Where's 3 and 4? Are they calling in?
They were watching.
They have the link. They need to click. Oh, here we go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I was actually going to volunteer to duck out because, like, you hear me and see me too much. So I was just I'll beat Fee, bro.
Joining us.
But look at that haircut.
The cleanly shaved AK Lee. But, Mike, I like having you on this because normally you're the host of shows.
Yes, that's true.
You don't really get to be a pundit. So anytime you can, like, hop on, I'm more than happy. And then, of course, are you champion still? Jed, I've missed. You know, if you're on between the links, normally I don't watch.
I think Phoenix might still be champion technically.
She's just gonna
I don't know if we actually have a champion. We're just like playing games right now. But yeah, we're gonna crown a champion this week on BTL. I can tell you that now.
We're gonna restart.
Oh, who's
anyway.
Competing?
Oh, it's a three-way dance, my friend. It's triple threat style.
Hell yeah.
We will save the breaking news on Between the Links till the end of the show so we can get to some fun questions that can be shot off. AK, how's life with no hair?
What's up, soy boys?
Wow.
What's up, soy boys?
Coming in hot.
Jen, you sheeple. We got to talk about these things, man.
That's a great shirt, AK.
It is. It looks. You're wearing a great shirt.
You know who loves. You know who loves MMA fighting shirts more than anyone? Habib. Habib's still wears them. He trains in them.
These shirts are comfortable as hell.
They are. It's very comfortable. It's
really good.
Our former colleague Danny Segura once told me at the story of when Habib was in studio for the MMA hour, and someone gave him a shirt, and he goes, "Oh, the rest of my team will take them too." So they took like 30 MMA fighting shirts for all of Dagestan.
Nice.
That's why we didn't have any for a bit, because
I was saying 30 is more shirts than we've ever had as an organization.
Sure. Sure.
All right.
Shout out to Cynthia. Breast cam. You guys know the drill.
That was at UAK. That was at UAK. Times. Oh, I know.
All right. Questions. Oh, crap. Where's my question screen? There we go. Here we go.
The show used to be so good when Sean started it. Oh. Yes, I actually answered this question on Twitter. And then someone responded with, no, Eric, like, he's like, Sean started it and Luke started the MMA beat. I'm like, those are both incorrect. Luke started the live chat. Ariel started the MMA beat.
Hey, they may have started it, but we're going to finish it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. We actually created MMA. The four Thanks, of us Donnie actually created this martial art. So
thanks, Thick Poppy. I'm gonna go look at this guy's Twitter right now.
Thick Poppy.
I want to know.
I gotta go, guys.
Gems. I want to know what other Thick gems Poppy's this pressure. Guy has been dropping on social media.
People just love Al Shadi. Like
a little too much. I don't know why.
Can't blame him for that.
It's okay.
I've been writing the morning report for 5 years now, which a whole separate thing. But I still get messages being like, "It was better when Sean did it." It was like a decade ago. Let it go, man.
Hey, are you providing a better argument though? It's like it's just
do you argue back? You're just like, yeah.
Sean is better than I am, sure. But
have you ever seen Sean's arms? Like when he flexes, it's incredible.
Okay, Casey, you say that. You should see a picture of like Sean in college. He was a monster. It's like alarming.
What's he doing?
It is alarming how monstrous.
Hold on, let's find. Let's.
You're not going to find a photo. You will not find a photo of it. Anyway, Casey, what's our question?
The question is, I want to see. That's not a question. I want to see a photo. That's all. Here we go. Oh, can you read that?
I can try.
UFC 267. Before I ask my question, I want to take some time to thank you guys for all the hard work that you've all provided with the ASI live chats. And this will be the last show, and I'm excited for what's to come. Hopefully, there will still be a segment where fans can interact by submitting questions to you guys, but we'll see what happens. Again, thank you for all the hard work. All the hard work you guys have done. Yes, thanks everyone to Mike, AK, Jed, and Casey. My question is, what are your thoughts on what UFC 267 Blachowicz versus Teixeira is shaping up to be? I know Casey has to be excited for the matchup between Jandarova versus Hibas. Casey, they have you nailed. You could also have Sterling versus Jan on this card as well. What other matchups are you hoping to be on this card? It looks like the focus will be on the international fight since this card will take place in Abu Dhabi. Jed, I'll start with you. A, what do you make of the current lineup of UFC 267, which will go down in Abu Dhabi? The UFC officially tweeted that. And I believe Islam Makhachev versus Rafael Dos Anjos has also been added to that card. So we got two title fights plus a marquee lightweight fight plus this women's strawweight fight between Jandarova and Hiba. So what do you make of this card so far?
I mean, the card's going to be really good. You've already seen them drop UFC did that promo for the return to Abu Dhabi. They're clearly going to like make a big push on this because Dana White's saving the world from communism or whatever. And so they're getting really big behind this card. And I mean, it already looks really good. You know, I love Yanni Blocko. Love me some Yanni Blocko as the champ. Aljamain Sterling, Peter Yan, great fight. We get the return of Hamza. Hamza Chimaev, yep. Knock on wood.
Versus the leech.
Yeah, like that's actually a really good fight and like a really good step for Khamzat. And I want to see what Khamzat is, you know, like I want to see is he actually the prospect we kind of prematurely anointed him, basically. But maybe he actually is that good. I don't know. Like it's going to be a really good card. There's a lot of stuff on it. And hell yeah. Like this is great. Way to go fight Island.
There's a couple other fights on this card. What's up?
Oh, I also just wanted to say there is a place you, whoever commented, can interact with people. And it's, you can just tweet me your questions about MMA and I will answer them every weekend in the hot tweets column. So,
I wanted to plug that at the end, but there you go. Anyway, some other fights on this card. We got Walt Harris versus Tai Tuivasa and Alexander Volkov versus Marcin Tybura. So a couple interesting heavyweight fights and a couple other fighters that I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce their name, but still fun fights. AK, what do you... Go ahead, Casey.
Is this the card that they're going to say is going to be for free on daytime?
So I believe this is going to be a non-title, non-pay-per-view numbered event. Yes.
This is correct.
Awesome.
And it's going to happen at like noon Eastern. Yeah. It's going to be freaking sick.
Unless, if one of us goes to Abu Dhabi, it'll be primetime Abu Dhabi time and then early
if
days.
One of us goes. If you go. So what do you think it's in me? You're not sitting my ass to Abu Dhabi.
Jed gets off the plane and they immediately send you back for your fire.
Yeah,
takes.
It's like, yeah, we're not doing this.
What do you mean there's no chicken nuggets here? And then they just send you back. Anyway. AK, what are your thoughts on the early lineup for UFC 267? Fingers crossed it stays
first
intact.
First of all, I have not been able to find a high school photo of Sean El Shadi publicly.
Still looking
through,
at least
through, that's what I've been doing this whole time. What have you guys been doing? through Google Images. I mean, there's a pretty early picture of him, obviously, his LinkedIn, but I think when he was well past high school. He and I are not friends on Facebook, apparently. So I sent him a request, and as soon as he accepts, I will start going through the photos and I will send you guys a photo if I can find one. He went, if anyone knows, this is all public. He went to Arizona State University, of course, and Sandra Day O'Connor High School, named after the
AK. Focus, AK. Focus.
I'm focused on the only thing that matters. I want to find swole Sean El Shadi photos.
Swoller. Swoller. Not swole. Swoller.
You have 260, whatever. Who's fighting? Oh, Jan Blachowicz. Yeah, great fight. That's a great fight. Ultimate Sterling. Yeah, okay, sure. Two title fights. Whatever. If anyone can send me a yearbook photo from Sandra Day O'Connor High School.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry. No, I love the card. I love how the card is shaping up so far. I love that it's, I love that it's not going to be on pay-per-view. Midday sounds fantastic. No, very good looking card. This is like the ideal card for. I don't know if their brand, are they ditching the Fight Island branding?
Nope. They hashtagged it up.
It was not in the, it wasn't in the promo. It was not in the promo that was released yesterday. The official promo that was released on UFC and UFC News. There was no mention of Fight Island, which made me wonder, which I wasn't sure why. So I don't know. I don't know if they're trying to maybe the pay-per-view itself, they're going to call like that for the smaller shows, we'll call them Fight Island shows. But either way, it was certainly less prominent.
Okay. Well, they're not saying Fight Island, but it's all the Abu Dhabi. It's a big tourism thing. Yes. It's all the hashtag tourism.
That's what I'm saying. That's front and center. That I think is they want to replace the Fight Island branding. They want the tourism, Abu Dhabi stuff. You guys kind of mentioned the Tai Tuivasa of Walt Harris matchup. This is one that I've kind of been like, I wasn't like crazy about, but Mike and the On to the Next One listeners made a very strong case for, you know, this could be a feel good fight. Good versus good. You don't like it, Casey.
That fight sucks.
All right, hold on. Before you chime in, I didn't like
your
it.
Your opinion's
either,
awful on this, by the way.
It is a battle of the saints.
Tai Tuivasa. Just good came off, beat Greg Hardy, the evil hated guy in the heavyweight division. So now we're going to make him beat up the guy that we're so desperate to get a win.
Or Walt Harris beats him up. I think they're just saying it's a good versus good.
Exactly.
Story.
Just do Walt Harris versus Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy ain't cut yet.
Hey, why not just do Greg Hardy, Derek Lewis now? They've been talking.
Answer.
That's the one Mike has been pushing now.
But why don't we want Walt Harris to win?
I think maybe Walt Harris
it's a winnable fight.
This fight.
He's not like a 2-1 underdog to tie to.
He's on a 4-fight losing streak, knocked out straight times.
Who do you lose to, Casey? You're always talking about quality of competition. You're crapping on him losing to.
Yeah, and that's why you give him the worst heavyweight and you give him Greg Hardy.
What if he lost to him then?
Well, then Greg Hardy beats him, and Ward Harris is probably the UFC caliber.
What a horrible moment that would be, right? He loses to Ty Tuivasa, at least we can all kind of stomach it.
He loses. No, he got hit once.
He wasn't close to losing to Greg Hardy.
He got hit once.
But
do you write Greg Hardy's Instagram post? I think it's you.
But I think the idea is, you know, a loss to Ty Tuivasa would be easier to stomach. No one would really feel bad about it. I mean, you know, it's. I'd love to see Walt Harris beat up Greg Hardy too, but I can't lie. There is that part of me that's like, God, what if Greg Hardy beat him? It would be like one of the worst moments of whatever year that happens in. And so I'm okay with trying to avoid that scenario. I don't even want Greg Hardy getting another fight in the UFC period. So that's why I don't care about that.
He will.
I'm sure he will. That's fine. Whatever. But Ty Tuivasa, I'm not against. Again, it wasn't my number one choice for Walt Harris, but I get why people are saying it's a feel good fight. Whoever wins, I think we can all be happy about it. It's not a big deal. So I'm okay with it, but I think that's one to showcase the depth of this card. A lot of good. Oh, Volkov Tabor, another good heavyweight matchup. Really like that.
I like the fight. I like the fight as like a mixed martial arts fight, but I have said this a few times in various preview and post shows. I'm in the camp that wins and losses matter regardless of who you fight and stuff like that. And someone on a 3-fight win streak fighting someone on a 3-fight losing streak, that doesn't make sense to me. But I like the fight as a fight. And I know Jed's laughing about something.
I'm not laughing at you at all.
Okay. Anyway, I don't like the fight for that reason. But I don't have a... Also, if Walt Harris loses, he's 13-11. Like, it's rough to, you know, keep your job in the UFC if you're 13-11 on a 4-fight losing streak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, that'd be true against anyone. That'd be true against anyone.
Thoughts on this card? Yeah. Real quick thoughts on this card as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, everybody already said everything. I will say the reason the Fight Island brand is no longer is because it went over like a fart in church. I mean, it just did. Bellator's dealing with that right now with the Fedor Tim Johnson fight. Everyone had this unbelievable vision of what Fight Island is going to be. It's going to be on this island. There's going to be like a Bodog fight, and the waves are going to be crashing into the sand as the octagon's right in the middle of the beach. And instead, we get Abu Dhabi, which is a fine place, but what we wanted.
It was the same thing.
I don't know. It's not the same thing. No. They put it in a beach. They put it. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Like, yeah, there's no change. Like if you watch the Fight Island cards, I could be like, that's in Duluth, Iowa. And you'd be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my favorite part of the new promo. The new promo they dropped where it's like a Dana White voiceover saying, you guys saw what I did when we weren't allowed to have fans. Just wait till I can blow it out. Like, you can do the same thing you've done for 20 years, bro. You haven't changed your aesthetic or anything literally ever.
Yeah, that's true.
Ridiculous.
Rochester, New York. It's the same thing. Yeah, it's literally the same
thing. Throw some sand on the walkouts and you just call it Abu Dhabi. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
I liked the Flash Forum as like a venue, like to watch those fights. It was kind of cool on Abu Dhabi.
Wait till Dana has fans.
Yeah. I was in that arena too and it was half built.
And I was there.
That seems way more fun, a half built arena. Yeah.
No, you hadn't been to the new arena, Casey. In Abu Dhabi.
Oh no! I was at the one that they built for Habib Dustin when like there were like just giant puddles of water and like they literally finished the building like 10 minutes before the fight started. It was pretty awesome. Right.
We had to wear hard hats and stuff when we would go into the arena on Fight Island. That was a trip too. Anyway,
why are you scared of life, man?
You should just wear hard hats in any UFC event.
Yeah,
fans are reckless out there.
Thanks.
Terrence Leverett, I don't know if you talked about this in the past, but how excited that CO is allowing Pride Colorado. Rules. Colorado is allowing Pride rules. Does this mean that if the UFC goes to Colorado, we can see knees to grounded opponents? Who would benefit more from this, strikers or wrestlers?
Oh, wrestlers.
Wrestlers, probably.
Wait, benefit more? No, strikers.
If he's talking about like
strikers. Strikers benefit way more from the ground and knees. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like if I think it's, well, it's clearly benefits both, but I could see arguments for both. But like, I remember when Chuck Liddell, I interviewed him on the red carpet of the Hall of Fame once. He goes like, if you could just like get side control and just knee a dude in the skull while you were holding him down, like that would be such a game changer for wrestlers too. And it would completely change how you defend like everything anyway.
North-south position, you're Jed, essentially dead. You're a corpse.
Yeah, 100%. Jed, you want to see a dead body inside an octagon with knees to the ground at opponents?
I don't know. I'm not Sean Strickland. I do not want to see a dead body. I'd like to see somebody that I have to – like, it's a real fine line you got to walk because you want to see somebody get almost dead, but you want them to survive. So it's a real moral conundrum, what I'd like to see. Because
why do people think we're going to die?
I don't think anyone's going to die. It was more like a
there's no more violence. It's just actually more finishes.
Yeah, it was just hyperbole. I don't think anyone. Yeah. I don't think a referee will allow a human being to die in an octagon. It was just more like
knees to the head of a grounded opponent are not going. That's not the thing that's going to do.
Yeah.
It was more like, you know how people are like, oh, if you allow like 12-6 elbows, you can shatter a man's skull and stuff like that. That was the whole argument back in the day. Mike, real quick, what are your initial thoughts on Colorado allowing pride rules?
Just good on Colorado for being different and being unique and opening up the door for different things. Wow, it's amazing what happens when we have multiple things to talk about and multiple rule sets and different ways we can go about it. Like, I have a feeling Colorado is going to be a very interesting state for the sport and in combat sports in general over the next 5 years. So I spoke with somebody from the Colorado Commission, and you know, as long as the commission looks at all these different rule sets and they say, okay, I'm cool, they're going to allow all of this to happen. They're going to allow all sorts of different stuff to go down in their crazy state. So I think it's very good. I think it's cool and could open up for some very unique opportunities over the next few years.
I highly doubt the UFC uses the pride rules.
Never.
I think they're gonna stick with the non-unified rules of MMA.
Stupid rules, that's what we call them.
Well, no, Casey, no, let's not. No,
they
come on, now, Casey. As a lover of rules, I take that very. I prefer we don't call any rules stupid. Every rule is special. Every rule is special in its own. Every rule set is special in its own way. Let us not judge. Please do not speak so crudely of rules.
Rules.
But yes,
why is the show ending? We shouldn't end the show.
I'd be shocked if the UFC implemented any of these potential pride rules, even if they go to whenever they're able to go back to Colorado. No, they're going to stick with the non-unifieds.
Now, before we get Casey's thoughts on this, you guys all have to get out of here at like 11 o'clock Pacific time, right? Don't you guys have like something you got to go to? Mike, I'm AK, fine. Right?
5 minutes, I got
to
go.
Are you trying to get rid of me?
No, I just want to know what our hard timeout is, because
We'll go out at 11.
Yeah. So anyway.
Okay. I have a thing.
Yeah. My thing about the Colorado, though, is it's not about the UFC. To me, the big thing is now other promotions, even like Bellator or PFL, if they want to, they can go to Colorado and now they can do something that will really differentiate themselves from the UFC beyond just, you know, having a different color aesthetic, you know. Now, Bellator, we're going there and boom, like the big advertisement, we're allowing the superior rule set, you know. And so it gives it something different, you know. So that's what I'm hoping for, you know. Beyond the stupidity of the sport that there's different rules for the same sport in basically every state, you know, if we're going to go that way, we might as well go all out and have one state where just, you know, we have the superior rule set.
Anarchy.
Imagine Gamebred FC, bare knuckle MMA with these pride rules.
Oh. And it benefits strikers more. So wrestlers can't do crappy takedowns and just grab at ankles, because then you will get slaughtered. But once you are on the ground, then you know that's it. Then it's just grappler's delight down there.
But one thing to keep in mind before everybody gets overly excited about this is that Bellator can't just call Colorado and be like, "Hey, we want to do pride rules." Doesn't work like that. They have to like write up their own unique set of rules, how they want to do it, and then it has to be approved by the commission. So it's not like they could be like, "Hey, Colorado, let's do knees to grounded opponents." Doesn't work that way. It's going to take time, and they have to write up a whole different things, and then it's got to be approved. So,
my best friend, I love when you talk about. No, it's a good thing. I love when you talk about rules. Anyway, that was wonderful.
Red tape.
We got any rapid fire questions?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I'm actually going to the comments now, because we've had some people leave some nice comments for us now. Maybe the last time on the A side.
Duval! Hopefully not the last time in general. Hopefully we'll be sending Jose Young's back there in no time.
Pass.
We'll see how the upcoming.
Have you seen
that? I love Duval.
I don't want to see. I don't want to see creepy pervert looking Fred Durst anywhere in Florida.
Oh, are we going to talk about new Fred Durst?
No, we're not. We're not going to talk about new Fred Durst. He looks like someone. He looks like exactly what I would expect Fred Durst to look like in 2021.
And you with an umlaut over it, right, Casey? You didn't
any
W.
New
Fred Durst. New Fred.
That comment AK. Made me angry. That sentence made me angry.
Right now. I'm blushing, AK. Anyway. When you said that, I was like, oh, you're a wonderful guy. Real quick, actual MMA question.
When is Nunes versus Pena happening? Nunes seems to think December, I bet. Maybe December, just because it seems like a lot of the pay-per-views are kind of locked up right now with double title fights, but who knows? Unless they want to do a triple title fight card.
Yeah, it's just light talks right now is what I've been told. They haven't even really dates specifically thrown out yet.
But they said Nunes tested negative, so I'm assuming...
Mike Brown posted a photo of her back in the gym already. So she's ready to rock whenever.
That's a good sign. That's a very good sign. All right.
Great shirt, Sean.
That was like
shirt was he wearing?
He's wearing this shirt.
Right.
Okay,
do we have any more of those shirts? I want one of those.
It took me a year and a half.
They're all in Dagestan.
I'm at the same mark right now, so I believe I've earned a shirt. Year and a half.
No questions, just tears. You have earned a shirt. No. We're all not. No one's going anywhere.
Happy tears.
No one's
happy
going
tears.
Anywhere. Yeah.
Happy tears for what Jose and everyone else was able to achieve with this show.
Okay,
right. Sure.
Usually I don't put up troll comments, but I got to put this one up.
Nice.
Tristan Schurthaus.
There you go.
Jed Zarin.
AK's the star of this episode. He's crushing it.
There you go.
He was the star of the post-fight show, too, talking about softball.
Gone trolling with still tipping was hilarious, LOL. So I wasn't in Houston, but I was like watching the fight on my phone because I was at like a wedding thing, and I couldn't hear it. But when everyone started to tweet about it, I blasted the volume on my phone and like held it up to my ear, and people were like looking at me very puzzled why I was listening to music. Like I looked like one of those assholes that just listens to music on his speakerphone in like a public setting.
But you were just one of those assholes at a wedding watching a sports event.
Watching fish fighting. Yeah, it happens.
You were that asshole.
Yeah.
That's more explicable than why are you listening to Mike Jones in 2021 at a wedding?
Hey man, some people like living in the past. Mike Jones is Mike Jones, but Fernando Lopez kind of went into detail about like when they walked out and how funny it was. So go watch the interview with Damon too. He kind of chuckles about that.
I gotta say, I did wimp out a bit at the press conference when I noticed that Gon was wearing a DJ Screw shirt the press conference, and like. Because at the beginning, the way it's set up, UFC PR goes, do you guys have questions? I wasn't planning to ask a question. So I was like, oh, crap, now I do got a question. Because I was going to go, hey, what's up with that? What is up with that? Because Truth was right in front of him. So I was like, we got to get some. Hey, were you trolling us? You know, so.
I'm not the biggest DJ Screw fan, but I respect what he does. I'm not big into the chopped and screwed style of music. It's just not my bag of tea. But I respect what he's done for the city of Houston and put it on the map. Trey the Truth is awesome too, though. But Casey, we got a heart out at 11, right? So
wait. Can we read the super positive comment? Casey, you're about to throw it up now, right? Yeah. Throw it up. We both see it.
Will be great. But just want to say Jessica. Thank you all for the laughs and giving us something to look forward to during the whole lockdown and pandemic. A side forever. Also, shout out to Jessica, Crystal Queen. She sent me some cool pins the other day. I can't remember what they're like sitting in my living room. My girlfriend likes them too. She wants to put one on one of her leather jackets. One of them had books, and oh my god, I can't remember what the other one was. Thank you so much, Jessica Crystal Queen, for the awesome pins.
Yes, Casey, can you grab Tim Hoogsteen's comment as well? This is what Jose.
Hey, I just got back into MMA recently after a long time not paying attention. You guys are the most informative and engaging observers out there. Thanks. So keep it up. Well, thanks, Tim Hoogsteen. Anyway,
you are educated. Your program is educated people.
Well, here's what I'm going to say.
All right.
Everyone, submit your tweets to Jed for hot tweets. AK, and Mike do On to the Next One after every show. AK is, of course, the master of Robbery Review. We're all still going to be on Between the Lings and post shows and preview shows and all that. Casey, thank you so much for taking over the – I don't know where you are on my screen, but – I remember when I was doing this on Google Hangouts and me and P2 were just reading the questions out loud. And then Casey came in at the middle of the pandemic and really made the show. Pardon my French, as cute as Derek Lewis, made the show look fucking awesome. And I want to say one thing. I want to say thank you too. And I have a big list. AK helps me with this list. Roxanne Modafari, Lauren Hill, Brian Kelleher, Jose Shorty Torres, wow. Dean Thomas, Angela Hill, Ben Rothwell, Corey Sanhagen, Miley McCann, Lee Malay McFarlane, Uriah Faber, Andre Feely, Sarah Kaufman, Elias Theodoro, Jared Cannonier, Joe Lozon, Mike Chiesa, Anthony Smith, Mackenzie Dern, Ashley Evan Smith, pro wrestlers, Biggie, Hurricane Helms, Gentleman Jack Gallagher, our homies, Sean Ross Sapp, Kristen King, Ant Walker, Andreas Hale, Matt Wells, Jade Morris, Jasenga Malata, Danny Segura, Danny Austin, Cree Serini, and of course, Guillermo Cruz, Mike Heck, AK Lee, Casey Lydon, Sean Alshadi, Jed, my best friend in the world, Pizza Carroll, Alex Savage, my partner in crime, literally couldn't do this job without you, and Esther Lynn, who literally helps me become a good MMA reporter on the scene. Thanks, everyone. This has been it for the A-Side Live Chat. We will not see you next Wednesday, but you will see the MMA Hour next Wednesday and Monday, for that matter. We'll see you on various preview and post-fight shows. We're out.
AK?
I got to watch the Lauren Hill episode.
Did I say Lauren Hill?
Yeah.
Angela.
Duval.
Angela.
Duval.
Or Lord Riffin.
Angela Hill. That's hilarious.
Happy birthday, AK!
Happy birthday, Jose.
Happy birthday.
That's hilarious.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.